Father God, Lord, we just come before you right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, we come before you as your people, Lord God. We come before you, Father, as those that are called by your name, Lord. Saved, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, through the blood of Jesus, Father. Through, Lord, the sacrifice that you made, Lord, to bring us and to restore us back to yourself, Lord. And so right now, just this day, Lord, with grateful hearts, Father, we come before you. Lord, we come before your throne of grace, Lord, knowing that we can boldly come before you, Lord God, because of what you did for us, Lord. And Lord, that we are made one in you in the Spirit, Lord, even according to John 17. Father, that we are made one in you, Lord God. And that there's no separation, Father, between us and you, Lord. We really are your ambassadors in the earth in this day. Lord, right now, Father, we leave every heaviness, Lord, every care, Father, every concern, Lord God, at your feet, Father. Lord, we hold nothing right now, Lord. We're anxious about nothing, Father, but in all things with prayer and supplication, we make our requests known to you. And Lord, our request this day, Father, is that you would take every care, every concern, every burden, Lord God, and Lord, that you'd replace it, Father, with just your peace, Lord, the peace that passes all understanding, Father, and Lord, your direction, Father, in every situation and what to do and how to do it. Lord, we bind every demonic influence, Father, every work of the enemy, Lord, every demonic force that seeks to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, to oppress and bruise and oppress your people, Lord. In Jesus' name, we break it right now. We displace it, Father. We cast them out. And in Jesus' name, Lord, we pray your wall of protection and your hedge of fire, Father, around your people. Lord, I get out of the way this day, Lord, and I pray and ask, Father, for the free flow of your Holy Spirit in and through me, Lord. I acknowledge openly, Father, that there's nothing in me good except your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, this day we yield to that, all of us. And, Lord, we pray, Lord, as we go forward, Father, that the word would go forward onto good ground. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So let it be. So let it be. Luke chapter 16.
Luke 16, 5.
Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. I'll read it first. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames, in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass from us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If thou hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead.
ධනවතාගේ දොරටුව ළඟ තබන ලද්දේය. ඔහු ධනවතාගේ මේසෙන් වැටුණු කැටිලි කන්ට කැමති වූයේය. එසේය. බල්ලෝ පවා ඇවිත් ඔහුගේ මන ලෙව්වෝය. තවද හිඟන්නා නැත. ඇති දේවදූතයන් විසින් ආශ්‍රවන්ගේ ලපැත්තට ගෙන යන ලද්දේය. ගණවතා ගැති තැන්පත් කරන ලද්දේය. ඔහු හේදිසේ වද විඳිමින් ඇස්සොස බහ ආබ්‍රහම් හා ඔහුගේ ලපැත්තේ උන් ලාසර දුරසිට දැක මොරගසා, පියවූ ආබ්‍රහම් මට කරුණාකොට තමාගේ ඇඟිල්ලේ අත දියේ ගලා මාගේ දිව සිසිල් කරන්නට ලාසර එවන්නේ නම මක්නිසාද මම මේ ගිනි දැවේ වේදනා විඳිමින් කීවේය. නමුත් ආබ්‍රහම් කියන්නේ, පුත්‍රය, නුඹේ ජීවිතයේ නුඹේ යහපත් දේ නුඹට ලැබුණු බවත් එලෙසම ලාසරස් අයහපත් දේ ලැබුණු බවත් සිහි කරන්න. නමුත් දැන් ඔහු මෙහි සැනසී ඉඳි නුඹ වේදනා විඳෙහිය. මේ සියල්ල ඇර එහෙන් නුඹලා ළඟට යන්න ඔහුගේ අප ළඟට එක සැමති වූවන්ට දැඩි ලැබෙන ලෙස අපට නුඹලාට දකරේ මහ කුහරයක් පිහිටා තිබේයයි කීවේ. ඔහුට එසේ නම් කියන්නේ මට සහෝදරයන් පස්සෙක් සිටිති. ඔවුන් මේ වේදනා ඇති ස්ථානයට නොපැදිලිද පිරිස ඔවුන් සාක්ෂි දෙන්න ඔහු මාගේ පියාගේ ගෙදරට අල්ල ලෙස ඉන්නමී කීවේය. නමුත් ආබ්‍රහම් මෝසෙස් සහ අනාගත වක්තෘ ඔවුන්ට සිටිති. ඔහු ඔවුන්ගේ වචන අසත්වයි කීවේ. ඔහු කතා කොට එසේ නොවේ. පියහු ආබ්‍රහම් මනවුන්ගේ යමෙක් ඔවුන් වෙත ගියොත් ඔවුන් පසු කැවිලි වෙනවා ඇතැයි කීවේය. ආබ්‍රහම්ද මෝසෙස්ගේ අනාගත වක්තෘවරුන්ගේ වචන ඔහු නොසත් නම් යමෙක් මලවුන්ගේ නැතිවුණත් ඔවුන් විශ්වාස කරන්නේ නැත කියා ඔහුට කීවේ යයි සිත්තේ.
Okay. Okay, many times Jesus told parables, yes? Okay, this is not a parable. This is not a parable. This is an actual, real story of a real person. You know, many times when Jesus would speak stories or parables, he would say, the kingdom of God is like this. He would use analogies for people to be able to understand with natural principles the spiritual reality. But in this case, Jesus speaking, he's telling a very real story about a very real reality that goes on even right now. Okay, Jesus in speaking this story gives a specific name. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. So you have a rich man and you have a beggar whose name is Lazarus. Now, interesting that Jesus gives the name of the beggar, but he doesn't give the name of the rich man. Why? Because also one thing God said about the name of the name of the wicked is blotted out with time. And Jesus, to be consistent with his word, will not give the name of the rich man, because if he gave the name of the rich man, that name would continue on and that name wouldn't have been blotted out. Isn't that interesting though, that the beggar is remembered through all the ages, the beggar is remembered, but the rich man's forgotten. There'll be a lot of people walking around this day that will be forgotten with time. But their lives will be used as an example to teach others who have an ear to hear and a heart to understand.
Okay.
They themselves will be forgotten with time. As soon as the dirt is put on the coffin by the one that's burying them, within 2 days everyone will have forgotten and moved on. Maybe if they're lucky for a few years, someone will come every year with some flowers and come and put them on the grave. That'll wear off too. The name of the wicked is blotted out with time. Okay, but this we know, that this is a real story. Another reason too, the rich man says, I have five brothers. I have five brothers in my father's house, and I know for myself that they are on the same path that I was on while I was in life. I know for myself that if something doesn't change with them, that they too will end up in the same eternal reality that I'm in right now. And something in eternity had clicked for him. Something in his brain had clicked for him. Where at least he didn't want people that he had cared about in life to end up in the same thing that he was in. But the problem for him is, once you leave this world, there's no coming back. Scriptures talk about us being surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses for the believers, for the followers of Christ. Hebrews 12, it talks about that. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run the race. And this is speaking about those that have come before us and walked strong in the faith. But likewise, it appears that those that are also in hell are watching everything going on the face of the earth too. And in both cases, there is nothing that they can do about the reality taking place here on the earth. They watch and they see what's happening here. And those that have gone before in the faith watch the continuation of that which they did in faith in the earth. They watch the carry-on of that work continuing to go forward. We spoke about, it's like a baton in the relay, you know, when the Olympics was going on. Like the people running with the baton and they're passing it to the next one. And they're cheering because they see that the lead that they got, they passed it and the next one is running with it. So we have a faith that we carry that comes from the Spirit of God and has been passed on as well and encouraged by the brothers in Christ that have come through all the ages. So right now Moses is going, go Nirmala, go Nirmala. Ikman dayan. Moses and Paul. Paul is cheering for Roshan. Peter is cheering for Punesh.
Paul tomorrow. Roshan to Peter goes out.
We're surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses that watch the continuation of the work that they did. Because that which was done in spirit has an eternal and a lasting benefit. The things that we do in connection to the Spirit of God have a lasting effect. But likewise, the people of the world and the people of the system of the world, what they do continues on as well. The only difference is, and a huge difference is, that theirs goes on to destruction over and over and over and again. And from an eternal perspective here with Lazarus and the rich man was watching and seeing the ongoing destruction of those that were continuing in the same line as him. And if there was something that he could do from the grave, it would be to stop them from continuing on in the direction and the path that they had chosen. Okay. What was the sin of the rich man? What did he do that was so horrible and so terrible that he ended up eternally separated from God, his name blotted out for all eternity? Nobody knows the name of this guy, we just know that he's real. Okay, anyone? Could it be that his God was his riches? That was definitely probably part of it. That's probably a manifestation of it. But did he go to the hell because he was rich? No. Okay. Yeah, we have to. Maybe he was proud. Maybe he didn't love the beggar. Okay, there's different things. You know, because here's something we want to know this, don't we? Because so caught up in the way of the world. Okay, because if there's one warning that the rich man could have passed on, it was don't end up making the same mistake I made. If there's one warning that the rich man would pass on, it was for his brothers, don't end up making the same mistake I made. Yes? Okay, Roshan pointed out something, 1 Timothy 6:10. I just want to touch on this one. This isn't the main thing. But 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So just that one verse, this is a side note, this isn't the main thing. Uh, 6:10. First Timothy 6:10. Who has that verse? Go ahead. Okay, sing it again. Okay, so it's not money, right? Because if it was money, David, Paul, Solomon would have been the most wicked man that ever walked the face of the earth, yes? You know, there's a certain poverty mentality that's actually crept into a lot of the religious organizations of the world. Rich is bad, poor is good. If you're poor, you're holy. If you're rich, you're evil.
That's why I said his God
versus man. I'm pointing out a thinking that's gone among a lot of religious circles. But a lot of the very same people that push that, they tell you, give me the money. Have you noticed that? They say, okay, the money's evil, but give it to me. I'll take this evil thing away from you. Okay, the scriptures talk about the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. But not money itself, right? Why? Because money itself is a tool. It's neutral. It's a good tool in the hands of the righteous. You can do a lot to help people with. But it's a master and a slave maker of the people of the world. Now, what did Jesus say? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the rich man's heart and treasure was stored up not in heaven, but where he ended up going to be. But money wasn't the mistake that he made. Money wasn't the mistake. So what was the mistake that he made? Because otherwise he should be standing right next to Solomon. Solomon should be right next to him, and they should both be going, oh God. But Solomon's not there. David's not there. Attitudes. So we can go to hell for a bad attitude. No. Okay. Attitudes. But in part, yes. Okay. It's actually here in the chapter. The very mistake he made is here. It's here. It's what? He didn't love God. Okay. Yeah. Lust. Okay. Here's something. We tend to get hung up on specific individual sins. Somebody did this, somebody did that. Yes?
Samara
Romans 3:23 tells me that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So everyone sinned, and the only people you'll see in heaven are redeemed sinners. So the only people that you will see in all eternity outside of the pure spotless Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world is those whose sins had been taken away by Him. So you have sinners on both sides. But what was the mistake that this man made? I'm not going to let you off easy. Okay, but think of it like this. All Scripture is overlaying with each other. Scripture defines Scripture. So this passage also, it helps us to define this one by looking at other scriptures as well. Okay, keep your finger there, but let's flip back to Luke chapter 4. And verse 5, now we're talking about Jesus. And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, the man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Verse 5, "And the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Okay, what is Jesus being offered? What does the devil offer Jesus? What does he offer him? He offers him the world. Jesus has offered the world. Now, okay, again, back to keeping all things in perspective as far as Scripture goes. Psalms 24 verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell therein," right? Psalm 24 verse 1. So it goes, but think of it like this, small circle, bigger circle, bigger circle. Okay, so everything we live in right now belongs to God. It's God's world. It's God's devil. It's God's devil. He made the devil. So he made Lucifer, he made him for a purpose. So we've already talked about this before. So that's why it's important to come on Fridays, because you have to. All this stuff will build together. So I'm not going to go through the old ones today. But it's God's devil, God's world, God made it, right? But now in this situation, when Jesus is being offered the world, a few things are happening here. One, the devil is testing Jesus to find out, does he know who he really is? Has he come to the realization of who he is and his purpose yet? That's one thing that's happening there. But there's another thing going on there too, which is that God allows the devil to have his little system for a period of time. The devil, does the devil know why Jesus was sent? Okay, scriptures talk about how if they knew what would happen with the crucifixion, they wouldn't have allowed, they would have done everything to stop it. Yes? So, he understood but in part. He didn't understand the whole picture. They bruised the head. Yeah, he bruised his head. Yeah, so so Lucifer's head's been crushed by the, like, he will strike his heel, he'll bruise his head. Lucifer's head's been thoroughly bruised, so he has trouble thinking sometimes. Okay. Genesis chapter 3, where it talks about the whole thing that'll happen there. But, okay. That's Genesis chapter 3. Okay. Stay with me, I'll come back to that one. But God allows for Lucifer to run his little system for a period of time. And even like right now in the world, when God feels like it, he just ping, hits it like that, and the whole thing starts to crumble because it's a big deck of cards. So it's all one big illusion. All these big companies and massive things and big buildings all are built on nothing. They're built on sand. And if God just goes, just a little blow of air, the whole thing just starts to shake and everybody starts freaking out. But Jesus is being offered something in that Luke chapter 4, which is, he's being offered the world, the system of the world. You get to be something in the world. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor, all their glory. You can be the big shot. You bow your knee to me. You take your place in the hierarchy. Now you become something. And Jesus, a resounding understanding of who he was, says, get thee behind me. Say, he slaps him. Basically. With his words, he puts the devil in his place. But now, what did the rich man do? Because he's still doing it when he's in hell. to Luke chapter 16. He says, "For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto them, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham." It's right there. No, Father Abraham. He's still doing it. He's still doing what he did in life. Jesus said no to the world. He said he came and set up the kingdom of God. And this rich man had said no to God and said yes to the system of the world. See, we've talked before about the two systems. We've talked before about the two kingdoms. The kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. The people of this world and the people of God. So this one, this nameless rich man who's still where he was back then, he's there right now watching us even preach this sermon. He said, "No, Father Abraham, no to the kingdom of God." And he said yes to the system of the world. It was not about money. Because Abraham is called, what's Abraham called in scriptures? Romans chapter 4, verse 11. Here, we'll just check this really quick. Romans chapter 4.
Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8.
Okay, verse 9 says, "Cometh this blessing upon them, upon the circumcision or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. For how is it that reckoned, when he was in the circumcision or in the uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of the circumcision, the seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also who also walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." Let me keep going. Yeah. No. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that we might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Okay, so verse 16. Okay, so Abraham is called the father of our faith, the father of all of our faith. So Abraham was one that God called out of the world. God spoke to Abraham while he was in his father's house. He spoke to him while he was in an idolatrous nation. And he said, "All right, come on out, Abraham, you're mine." And Abraham believed God, trusted God, followed God, was set the mark for those that would follow after him. So the rich man continues on in death what he had done throughout his life. In chapter 4, verse 12, it says that the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. Verse 12. Who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. Jesus said in John 14 verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." So Jesus also said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you," but he said, "Go into all the world." So he's sending people out. They walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. Abraham walked in the steps in faith, following the leading and guiding of the Spirit of God. said, follow me as I follow Christ Jesus. Paul was walking in the steps of Abraham, writing the book of Romans. You notice that Paul is writing Romans talking about walking in the steps of faith of Abraham. And him writing this book, he tells people, follow me as I follow who? Abraham? No, Christ Jesus. Because Abraham was following the leading and the guiding of the Spirit of God in everything he was doing. And Abraham stayed faithful to that leading and that guiding till the very day that he left the earth. So he's an example to those that would follow, of following in the footsteps of one that walked in faith and followed God. So likewise, even Paul, because Paul was not done running his race yet. So Paul had to say, look, as I follow Christ Jesus, if I stop following Him, you keep following Christ and leave me. John 14:6, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The way, He's the way. What did the rich man say to that way? Do you see how all of this ties together? Do you see how all scripture interweaves together? This is God, the way God does this, this is God. What did he say to that way? What did he say to that kingdom of faith? He said, no, Father Abraham. He said, I will serve the world. I will serve the system of the world. I will look to the world for my provision, for my protection. I will live my life in this world. Thank you very much. And his realization was that all five brothers were making that same decision. All five brothers had given their heart and their allegiance and their loyalty to the world and the system of the world. They had all said, no, Father Abraham. And it was just a matter of time, just a matter of a few years, just a matter of a few more breaths in their body before they would be standing next to him. What was it then that Abraham's response when he said, when his request was made, Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Okay, Moses and the prophets. Okay, did they literally have Moses there at the time when Jesus was telling the story?
Yes.
No, Moses wasn't literally there. What did they have? The scriptures. They had the word of God, and they had the messengers and those that God has called at that time to speak the word of God. So they have the word of God, and they have those that have been called by God to speak the word of God. Let them hear them. Let these five brothers hear them. Now here's something about the prophets. Here's something about those that have been called to speak the word of God. In scripture, have you ever seen the prophets and those called to speak the word of God accepted by the world? Have you ever in scripture seen them not persecuted for the truth of what they speak? Yes? No. What happened to Jeremiah? What happened to Isaiah? What happened to Paul? What happened to Stephen? What happened to Jesus? What happened to... Are you starting to see? They were cut in two. They were thrown in jail. They were chased from place to place. If it wasn't for the protection of the Spirit of God, they wouldn't have lived a day. Now take Paul as an example. When he was persecuting the church, when he was coming down on those who were the true followers of Christ, was he accepted by the world or was he rejected by the world? He was accepted. In fact, it says that he had letters from the religious leaders to go after the church in Damascus. They gave him physical letters of approval saying, help this guy out to destroy these people. But the moment that he was taken out from darkness into light, from the moment that he was liberated by the Spirit of God, his eyes were open and he could see the truth. Did he get letters anymore? Did he get the support? Did he get the support? He had to literally be let down from the wall in a basket in the middle of the night just to get him out of the city. Because in Damascus, they had to let him down with a basket from the side of the wall to get him out of the city because they're waiting to kill him at the gate. Because the true word of God is not accepted by the world. And if the world has not dramatically changed from what it's continued to be for the last thousands and thousands of years, neither are the servants of God this day. Too much. The world does not accept the word of God. It's worth saying again. And the servants of God, the attitude of the world is the same today as it was back then. the true servants and messengers of God this day have no pulpits as such. It's rickety stand here. They're not invited into the religious systems of the world that hold the souls of men. They're kept out. The letters are given to Paul to go to Damascus to destroy the church, not to build up the truth. What was Paul's words in Romans again? Because they refuse to love the truth, God gives them over to a powerful delusion so that they believe the lie and so be damned. What's the powerful delusion? Well, part of it is they believe they're okay. They believe that if they give their heart and their allegiance to the world, they can still have Jesus. But Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You love the one and you'll hate the other. You'll serve one and you'll despise the other. And in that context, he said, you can't serve both God and mammon. Because the world system is also built very much on the love of money. But God speaking to His people, speaking the truth, those that have a heart for truth, they want that truth. And that's why when John the Baptist came and he was speaking, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. Where was he? Was he in the temple? Where was he? Where was John? The desert. Very much so. He was in the desert. And if people wanted that truth, they had to go to a place that was uncomfortable. No canteen there. No Fanta between sessions. They had to go to a place where they would be uncomfortable and they would get the truth that they're seeking. So God, this day, the truth is there. They have Moses and they have the prophets. I'll tell you something I know about the true servants of God. Those that God has given the responsibility to speak the word. All of them were given that by God. Even as John the Baptist said, that a man can't receive, he can only receive what's given him by God. So the Spirit of God gives each person gifts and activates those gifts in those persons. And it wasn't them, a system giving them a degree saying, you're okay now, we legitimize and legalize you to speak. I The true servants of God that I know, the ones that really preach the Word of God, they're compelled to by the Spirit of God. And they've been given that gifting and that calling by the Spirit of God. And because they serve God, they walk that out in obedience to Him. And it's not something that any other man can validate. It's something that the Spirit of God anoints and empowers to do. So these ones, when you meet them, encourage them. Because, and you know they're true because it resonates in your spirit that that is the Word of God flowing through that person. And encourage them, because the thing is, you know, Scripture shows that they are walking with targets on them everywhere they go. They're constantly under attack. All of us are constantly under attack by the world system. But they, because they speak that truth, face that very, very overt opposition. So the thing that happened with the rich man was he said yes to the world, no to God. He said yes to the system of the world that's at enmity with God. Remember John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Love not the world nor the things of the world. If anyone love the world and the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So everything else that manifested out of his life was a byproduct of that rejection. So when he ignored Lazarus sitting at his doorstep, yes? Proverbs 21 verse 13 says, "Who stoppeth his ears to the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself and shall not be heard." But that was a manifestation of his heart. That was, so all of these things, these byproducts, we look at, people tend to look at things that people do, but there's a core, there's a root to the problem. And this is why also everything that's taking place in the world right now, with the world financial system to begin with melting down, yes? This is a good thing. Everybody, you know how many people are praying, hoping that the thing holds together? But it's a good thing. Because this rich man went on a mossy path all the way to hell. He lived all of his days in never questioning the reality and the decision and the allegiance that he had taken to the world system, and he died in that.
Oh,
And the world is working very hard to try to put Humpty Dumpty back together again right now, to try to piece together its system again. Because they don't want people right now to question their allegiance and their heart and turn and be saved and bow their knee before the King of Kings. So the world melting down right now financially is a good thing because you see the system for what it is. It's a chance for people to cry out to God. The illusion is being shattered. People are starting to see there was nothing there in the first place. And that system itself is responsible for the destruction of mankind. So, all things are being brought to account by God. So you as children of light, you as children of the truth, we say yes to Jesus. We say yes to the kingdom of God, yes to the rulership and the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And we say no to the system of the world. And we say, yes, Father Abraham, we agree with you. We're on that path with Jesus. And our time is most certainly up, so we'll stop there.